us to be desired. The body was not good. Matter of fact, let's look over to Acts chapter 17, if you want to, in your Bible. It's to the left of where you are there in Corinthians. And Paul is speaking to some Greek philosophers on a hill called Mars, the Areopagus. And he's telling them about their gods. You know, he said, there's one God that you don't even have a name for. I know the name of that God, the God that you don't know. Let me tell you about him. And his son Jesus came and dwelt among us, and he died for your sin, and he's raised from the dead. And then down in verse 32, it says, and when they heard, when these Greek philosophers heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, I think I hear my mother calling. We'll hear you again about this some other time. Because they didn't have any respect for this idea of bodies being raised from the dead. Their idea was if they could just get so spiritual, you know. And so they were the kind of people who would say, yes, my good friend died, but he's still with us here in spirit. You know, that's the main thing, that spirit. Spirit is pure. And so some of the Corinthians, because they wanted to be intellectual too, they might want to run for office someday. And so they just made statements. There is no bodily resurrection because that would not be cool. We believe. Okay. And so Paul said, well, we need to talk about this. Now, there were others who had come from a Jewish background or who had friends who were Jewish. And there was a sect of Judaism who were leaders, as a matter of fact, called the Sadducees. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you can remember the Sadducees. They were the ones who didn't believe in things spiritual. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Matter of fact, if you're still over in Acts, you turn over to chapter 23. And Paul is before a court of Pharisees and Sadducees. And you can remember the Sadducees because they are the most sad. They don't believe in anything, you know. And it says down in chapter 23 and verse 6 is where we'll start. And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, brothers, I'm a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. And when he said this, a dissension arose between Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. And so there were some in Corinth who said, well, you know, we're too politically correct to believe in bodily resurrection. There were some who said, we're too spiritual, too religious to believe in bodily resurrection. And it doesn't really amount to a hill of beans anyway. So, you know, if you want to believe in the resurrection, that's your truth and you cling to that. I personally, as a resident of this upstanding and forward-thinking town, well, I reject bodily resurrection. I reject the idea of resurrection, you know, other than Jesus. Not Jesus, he's a special case and he gets by with it. And Paul said, y'all need to think. Because if there is no resurrection, then there is no resurrection. You know? If bodies aren't raised, then nobody has been raised. If you're not going to believe in a bodily resurrection, then you can't believe in Jesus' bodily resurrection. And so let's talk a little bit about what difference it would make, as Paul does here, talks about what difference it would make if Jesus had not been raised from the dead. And so he says, now, first, let's do 12, because I want to be sure that you see that they were saying, okay, it's okay for Jesus to be raised, it's just not okay for me. So he says, now, since, if, in this, it can be translated if, or it can be since, it's a condition, a first condition, okay? Which means, if, but since is a better way of putting it. I don't know why they don't write since. I guess they're short on ink when these Bible printers. Now, since Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Paul says, I have preached it and you have believed that Jesus is raised from the dead. But now you want to say there's no resurrection of the dead. Now, so let's back off and look at this. If there's no resurrection, then Jesus isn't raised. And if Christ Jesus is not raised, if he hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain, for one thing. Well, some people say, you know, well, your preaching may or may not be in vain, but it sure is boring. Well, whatever, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the purpose of proclamation. And he's really not, you don't even have to put it in the terms of preaching, but just proclaiming or claiming that Jesus is who he says he is. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then there's no purpose to even talk about Jesus, because he is like everyone else. He is just moldering in the grave. By this time, he is way gone. And so there's no need to talk about Jesus anymore. He's over a bunch of horizons. That's way behind us. That's old-timey stuff, and that's the way some people look at him, because they don't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. But Paul says there's no, if you're going to meet and call yourself church, you've got to believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. Otherwise, you might as well be a Lions Club and do something more useful, you know. Go help some blind children or something. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then there's no reason to proclaim. There's no reason to talk about Jesus, because there's no gospel to preach. If someone believes that Jesus' body is still in the tomb, but his spirit is with us, that's not a new covenant. Jesus said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood, which is a new covenant." Or this cup represents a new covenant in my blood. It's something new. That idea of Jesus' spirit being with us, that's not new. That's ancient Eastern stuff. Yeah. But what Jesus did is he brought something new. He not only talked about a bodily resurrection, but he did it. And he was just the first one. And so that gives us something to proclaim. We talk about a living Savior. We serve a living Savior. We worship a living Savior. We talk about, we hope, put our hope in a living Savior who lives bodily, not just some, not the force. Okay. So Paul says if Jesus isn't raised, then our proclamation has no purpose. It's all just mysticism and vanity. He goes on and says, and if Christ is not raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. What are you hoping in? Some of you people, he's saying, you came to Jesus. You changed your way of living. You changed your way of thinking. You changed your way of acting. You changed what you put your hope in. You changed how you managed your money. You changed how you treated your wife and your husband. You changed what your hopes are for your kids. You changed how you looked at the Word of God. Because you believed that Jesus really had paid for your sin, that he really had died, that he really was raised and really buried according to the Scripture, and that he was really raised on the third day according to the Scripture. But if Jesus wasn't, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus isn't raised, and you don't have anything, you don't have any purpose for your change, except you have turned over a new leaf. And you know, before you came to Jesus, that those new leaves that you turn over, turn back over, or rot. So there's no foundation for your truth. A dead Savior doesn't save anybody. Y'all know about Davy Crockett? Man. And Jim Bowie? And Colonel Travis? Y'all may not know those, because some of y'all are foreigners. Y'all are not from Texas. But in Texas, we know those names because those guys fought in the Alamo. They died in the Alamo. They fought valiantly against several station wagons full of Mexicans. Like 2,000, I'm sorry. And they died. And they died for a cause. And really what kept people fighting, one of the cries was, remember the Alamo. Remember where Barrett Travis died. Remember where Jim Bowie died. Remember all those others who died in there. And keep fighting. And it kept people fighting. And it, you know, right or wrong, whether they had a right to or not, it kept people going for a while. But today, if you go to Texas and shout, "Remember the Alamo," you probably won't be able to draw a crowd that'll put up a very good fight. You know why? Because those guys are dead. They died for a good cause. They died valiantly. But they're dead. And a dead Savior doesn't save anybody. If Jesus is just dead, well, I can understand getting folks stirred up at that time. But at this point, that doesn't work. There's no foundation for your faith. Matter of fact, the death of Jesus Christ is what declares Him the Son of God. He is declared the Son of God by His resurrection. Let's look at we'll get that later. Okay, let's keep going. So you have no foundation for your faith. He's declared by His resurrection. His resurrection is who declares Him as having the power to be the Son of God, declares Him to be holy. He can't be holy if He said He was going to raise from the dead and He didn't, then He's a liar. Can't be holy and a liar. Paul says, all right, if Christ isn't raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. And we are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He didn't raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So Paul says, we're being malicious, as a matter of fact, because we're saying things about God that aren't true. Because we're saying that God raised Jesus from the dead. Matter of fact, we're even saying that Jesus is God in the flesh. And that He's raised from the dead. And so if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, then we're not just being deceptive because we're going to keep on doing this, is what Paul's saying. If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, then we are malicious because we have to keep telling people about Jesus. We have to keep believing. We have to act like Jesus is raised from the dead. We are malicious, not just deceived, because some of us at this point have said that we have actually met Jesus, the resurrected Lord. That's malicious. That's not just foolish. And so some people want to say, well, those guys are just hypocrites, you know? They were getting some jolly out of this saying Jesus is resurrected. There was some benefit for them. Well, there might have been from time to time, but you know, when you read about the life of Paul, about being shipwrecked and beaten and left for dead, stoned and left for dead and being beaten as much as the law would allow, because he would not deny Jesus, because he would not quit preaching Jesus, because he would not stop saying what others who didn't believe in the resurrection would say was a malicious lie, then you can't say that he's hypocritical. He's a martyr. He's a sure enough witness. And a hypocrite may lie for a way of making his life easy, but a martyr will die for the truth. And a lot of the people that we read about in the New Testament, they sealed their testimony with their blood. They said, we believe this and we will prove it. I was just reading this morning. In Rome, whenever a plague came through, Christians did better than non-Christians in Rome. In occurrence of plagues. And this is what historians have decided. Is that if there was a dangerous disease, people who had no hope of eternal life would separate those who were sick, put them off by themselves, so, you know, quarantine them. If they die, they die. If they get well, okay. But we're not going to take a chance. But the Christians would care for those people. They would keep them right close because they said, if they die, they go to Jesus. If we die, we go to Jesus. You got nothing to lose. We're going to take care of them. And they took care of them, and Christians outlasted everybody else in all the plagues because they were not afraid of death because they believed in a resurrected Lord. Paul says, if Jesus isn't raised, your faith is in vain. We've misrepresented God. We're malicious liars. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ is raised. And if Christ is not raised, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sin. That's a biggie, y'all. Because Jesus dying on the cross didn't just prove that He was the Son of God, but it dealt with our sin. And there's a song that we sing in the Baptist world, used to, back when we sang songs out of a hymnal. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Huh? See, I told you. Rising He justified. Now, there are people who make a doctrine out of that. It's in the Baptist hymnal. It's got to be doctrinally pure. We used to sing it regularly, is what I meant. Thank you for that encouraging word, though. Rising, He justified. Well, we're not just justified by His resurrection, but the resurrection is part of the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus just dying on the cross wouldn't be enough, just like Miss Faith said. But that death on the cross, followed by the resurrection, proves that this whole thing works together. If you've got a good-looking engine, y'all know that's going to get to an engine sooner or later, didn't you? You got a good-looking engine, and you got gas, and you got air, but you don't have any spark, you don't have any explosion, your internal combustion engine is not going to run. See, it's not the air that makes it go. It's not the fuel that makes it go. It's not the spark that makes it go. But all those things together make that thing go. And so Jesus' death on the cross, according to Scripture, His being buried and in the tomb until the third day, according to the Scripture, and then rising, all according to the Scripture, that's what makes it work. Dealing with our sin. And if those things, any part of them are missing, then we're still in our sins. What Paul says, if there's no resurrection, then you're still in your sin. And you might as well live like you want to live. Live any way you want to live. Because you're going to die. And if there's a God, you're going to burn in hell. If there's no God, you're going to just rot like Jesus did. If there's no resurrection. It completes the work of salvation. It proves His work of salvation. It motivates us to seek salvation. Look over to 1 Peter. That's to the right from where you are there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's our hope. We know He's resurrected. We know we have hope for ourselves. And down in verse 21 of that same chapter, He says, "Who through Him, believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." So our hope is in Jesus' resurrection. In the God who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in that resurrecting God. It motivates us. I got a couple more scriptures here. Let's go ahead and hit them. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. "The one who saved us, the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The appearing. You can't see a spirit. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live." The world won't see Him because they're not looking. But you who are looking for Him will see Him, and you will live because Jesus lives. You'll be resurrected because Jesus is resurrected if you put your trust in Him. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, verse 18, "Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Death has dominated. There is no hope for you other than a dark grave. There is no hope for seeing your mother again, your believing father again, that child who died before they had an understanding of sin, and so they were covered by the grace of God, or that one who had put their trust in God. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for them or for you. And he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He say, but now, living the Christian life is pretty good thing. If I just live out this life following Jesus, there's no need to pity me. Well, if you're just cruising along, I guess cruising with the name of Jesus is a good a way to cruise as any. But if you're living a radical life, like we're called to, if you're living a life that says, if everything else breaks, I've still got Jesus. If you're living a life that says, when there's a stand to take, I will stand with Jesus, and there's always a stand to take, y'all, just about. Then you will have, with Jesus sitting raised, then you will have taken a stand for absolutely nothing, and if you are remembered, you will be remembered as a knuckle-headed fool. If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, and you've said that he is, and you've lived like he is, and he has run your life, and your hopes, and your kid raising, and your job doing, and your money managing, even the way you drive, and if there's no Jesus raised from the dead, you are pitiful. We are pitiful. Someone said believing, being a believer solves some problems, and it does because, you know, we believe so we don't worry as much, right? Yeah. We believe in Jesus, so we're not afraid of death, right? We believe, and so we have a standard of right and wrong. Right? So those are good things. That solves some problems, but being a believer also causes some problems if we're willing to really invest in Jesus. And when the going gets tough, we go with Jesus. And if you want to be theological and philosophical, which we certainly all are, I'm sure, then let's consider what rests upon the resurrection of Jesus? Well, whether or not he is God rests upon Jesus. Now, you say, that doesn't make any difference to me. Well, it does if you put your trust in Jesus, because he is God with us. He is the Son of God. That makes him God. He's not a good guy that God just chose, but he is God come to dwell among us. And Romans 1:4 says, and he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is what assures us that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God. He is sovereign. That means he is really Lord. He can do what he wants to with us. He can direct us and he can call us to do anything, and he can empower us to do what he calls us to do. In Romans 14:9, it says, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. We already talked about his death, his just being effective for our justification. That's in Romans 4:25. His death is effective for our regeneration. We did that too, but let me read it again. In 1 Peter. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't have anything to be born to if Jesus isn't raised from the dead. Our resurrection is based upon Jesus' resurrection. Back to Romans. Your Bible ought to fall open to Romans anyway. Verse 11 of chapter 8. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Your resurrection depends upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to our text, which is in 1 Corinthians, remember? Chapter 15. So Paul says, if all these things, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus isn't resurrected, and we are a total mess. But verse 20, there's a glorious however, a holy but. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He has been raised from the dead, and He is the first growth of those who have fallen asleep. He was just the first one. And then the guy who had put his trust in Jesus, probably the thief on the cross. You know, Jesus died first, and then the thief on the cross died, and he was, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say? Today you're going to be with me in paradise, in a body, my friend, not some spirit floating around, but some form of a body. Now, that's a whole other set of lectures there when we talk about that. What that body's going to be like, what the resurrection, what the body's going to be like when Jesus comes back. But Jesus is, in fact, raised from the dead, and He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and that's the end of the sermon. Here's the invitation. Have you accepted that? Have you come to a point in your life when you understand that you need a Savior? You do need a Savior. The Bible tells us everybody needs a Savior because all of us have sinned. None of us measure up to God's expectation for us, which is perfect holiness. Now, if you are here this morning and you are perfectly holy, go ahead and raise your hand because we want to see you and correct you. But if you can't raise your hand saying I'm perfectly holy, then your next option is to go with the one who is perfectly holy, who will give you His holiness if you put your trust in Him as Lord and Savior, risen Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us. My goodness, what a wonderful day. We thank You for the resurrection. We thank You that You are willing to save those who would come to You. Matter of fact, You have already worked in their hearts to draw them to You and let them see their sin. And You've worked in their hearts to let them see Jesus lifted up. And You've worked in their hearts to see the importance of His death and His burial and His resurrection. All as You had predicted it, all according to Scripture. All proving that He is able to do what He said He would do, which is give life to those who come to Him, abundant life. And so I pray for the one this morning who You have drawn to come into the kingdom. Hear them as they pray. Lord, I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. And I want to see You. I want to see You honored. And so I give You my whole life. Forgive my sins. Enable me to live this side of the grave and the other side of the grave for Your glory. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.